My guest today on Main Street is going to tell us about a great benefit concert coming up soon to promote the need for Messianic Jewish outreach in our area. He's Dennis Karp of the Son of David Congregation in Rockville, and we're talking about an appearance by Michael Card. That's December 15th, not too long from now. Tell us about this concert. This is a great event for many people. He's such a wonderful artist.
Yes, and we're excited to have Michael Card for a number of reasons. Number one, he's a wonderful worship artist. He's well known in the songs that he's written, but he's also someone who is a lover of Israel. He goes to Israel every year. I was told, and I'll find out when I meet him, that he actually speaks Hebrew and lived with a rabbi in Israel for a year. So we couldn't have asked for someone any better. In addition, I believe that where we're having the concert, it holds 700 people, to expose them to Michael Card, to expose them to Jewish outreach, and to expose them to the good news of Messiah Yeshua, Christ Jesus. I'm just looking forward to it. It's going to be a wonderful evening.
And where is it going to take place?
This will be held at Rockville High School. Okay. In Rockville, Maryland, in their auditorium.
So with only 700 tickets, you're going to run out fairly soon. Our listeners might want to contact and find out how they can get tickets.
Yes. The best way to do that is to go to our congregation's website, www.sonofdavid.org, and then you can just click the Michael Card in Concert tab, and it'll give you opportunities to purchase tickets.
Great. Now, the money that you'll raise from this, you're going to be using for your building fund, for your first permanent building for your congregation.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, our congregation this month is celebrating its 28th year in existence. And we have been renting all that time, six different locations. And it's interesting in that our vision and values statement, it says that our goal is to reach out to the Jewish people of Montgomery County and the Washington, D.C. area in culturally relevant ways with the gospel of the good news of the Messiah. Well, if you can imagine, we've been renting in this church and that church and this church and that church, and many Jewish people simply won't walk into a building that has the name church on it. And so we've decided, by the Lord's leading, that this is the time to plant permanent roots, to not rent space one day a week, to be able to do ministry 7 days a week, and to have a Messianic synagogue that will be more a Messianic synagogue that'll be more comfortable for Jewish non-believers to enter. So we're really looking forward to this. We believe the time is right.
How hard is it to find Jewish non-believers who are willing to come in and be open-minded to listen to the kind of messages you'd like to convey?
That's a good question, but I want to kind of turn it a little bit if I can. The question is, how do you reach and approach Jewish nonbelievers so that they would even consider walking into a Messianic congregation? Unfortunately, I believe many people, when they share their faith with Jewish people, feel like they have to have the answer immediately to every question a Jewish person has. And that's just not the way to carry on a dialogue. That's the way to have an argument, but it's not the way to have a dialogue. And so what we suggest, what we teach our people, and what I've modeled for many years, is to answer a question with a question, because you don't want a debate. In a debate, somebody always loses, and we want this to be a win-win situation. And so the example I love to give, and it's one of the questions that I am faced with most often when I'm approached by a Jewish non-believer, is, so you're telling me that if I don't believe in your Jesus, I'm going to go straight to hell? And my answer is, why do you believe in hell? And you see, it kind of takes it into a different direction, because their question is not really a question. Their question was meant to put me off guard and end the conversation. And I don't want to end the conversation. And so it's amazing the kind of answers you get when you ask someone, why do you believe in hell? Some will say, well, not really. And then I say, well, then what difference does it make? Let's talk about the Redskins. But if they say, well, I do believe in hell, then the next question is, well, what do you think about it? What is it? Is it a place? How do you get there? How do you stop from going there? And then the debate, if you will, turns into a discussion. And then through discussion, you can build up a relationship. And through relationships, you can invite them to come and worship with you at your Messianic synagogue.
You've been in, served as a leader of this congregation for some time. How do you manage the, this is a huge job over the years, and how did you conceive of the way to begin this and to grow and to connect?
Well, it's interesting is that I came to faith through the ministry of Son of David Congregation in 1992. And in 1998, they sent us out to plant a Messianic synagogue in Northern Virginia, which still exists to this day. And so my wife and I and two other elder families led that congregation from 1998 till 2007, when the Lord called us to Israel. And from 2007 to 2011, our family ministered in Israel. I was the assistant director of a Messianic ministry in Israel. I led a Saturday night home group, and I also pastored the staff of about 20 people. Unfortunately, the last year we were living there, both my wife and my daughters, two of them, got very ill. One was very serious. The opportunity to come back to the United States arose. None of us wanted to do it, but in prayer, God was very clear that we were supposed to come back. And so we came back in 2011, and there was no leadership at that time at Son of David Congregation. And so they asked me if I would consider taking over the leadership. My wife and I prayed about it. We met with many of the influential members of the congregation, and a marriage was made. And in September of 2011, I took over as a leader of the congregation.
What has it been like? Has it been exciting?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The first 2 years were the honeymoon. The next 2 years were the pruning. And the last two or three years has been a season of growth, a season of spiritual growth, numerical growth, growth in vision, growth for me personally as I realized how ill-equipped I was for all the things I wanted to do. And it's really been interesting. It's been wonderful. And the best thing I can say about Son of David is it's a congregation that I would go and worship at even if I wasn't the leader.
That's something to say, something wonderful to say. What will it mean to have your own permanent building now? What a feeling it must be able to conceive now of that happening.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many studies that have been done about churches who move from renting space to owning a building and how their numbers increase 20, 30, 40% in the first 2 years. That's one aspect of it. But the bigger aspect for us is that we'll have a place where we can do ministry 7 days a week, not just one day a week. We'll have a place where we can do midweek studies for moms and have care for their children. We'll have a place where we can do evening Bible studies, morning prayer services for the local pastors and people who would want to come. I mean, even things like Monday movie night to open it up to the community, and Friday night and Saturday morning Sabbath services. Plus, it will show a degree of permanency that really no Messianic congregation in the Washington-Baltimore area has. And I believe that degree of permanency, that anchor in the Washington, D.C. area, could in fact be a launching pad for maybe a renewal of Messianic outreach in the Washington, D.C. area.
Wow, when I read about the shootings in Pittsburgh, I thought a great deal about what an incredible community center that synagogue is and how it serves all the time, so many people in that community. Again, it's a permanent place, a
Correct.
Place where people come for all kinds of reasons, all kinds of events, and the connections people make there with everyone else that surrounds them.
Sure. And historically, a synagogue was not just a place of worship. It was a community center. It was a place of meeting. It was a place of teaching. It was a place where real estate deals were done. It was a place where people could come and just talk and spend time with each other. And that's what we hope it to be, a real community center and a foundational Messianic presence
Wow.
in Washington, D.C.
You're connected with the Chosen People Ministries
Yes.
of the area. Can you tell us what that is?
Sure. Chosen People Ministries is the oldest Jewish outreach of the good news of Messiah in North America. As a matter of fact, in 2019, it'll celebrate its 25th year anniversary. It's also international in that we're currently in 20 different countries around the world, to include Israel. But we are a ministry of outreach. We're a ministry of Bible studies. We're a ministry of one-on-one evangelism. We speak at local churches all around the country, all around the area. speaking about various topics, all having to do with the gospel through Jewish eyes, as well as the biblical mandate to share your faith with Jewish people. As a matter of fact, the congregation that I came to faith through, Son of David Congregation, its leader at the time was also on the staff of Chosen People Ministries. So I owe both Chosen People Ministries and Son of David Congregation my eternal life.
That event was obviously a huge event for you. You grew up in a traditional Jewish home.
Yes.
And went to synagogue regularly and worshiped with your family.
Right.
And this was, how old were you when you first realized the truth of Jesus and the connections between the Old and New Testament? You hadn't been introduced to the New Testament
No.
when you were young.
No, I'm a slow learner and a late bloomer. I was almost 42 years old before I came to faith. I got away from the synagogue life as soon as I graduated high school. Of course, you can't tell from seeing me on a radio, which is kind of like an oxymoron. But I was born in 1950. I went through the Vietnam era. And so I was a hippie and looking for the answers to life in every wrong place that I could find. And it wasn't until I finally gave up hope that there was an answer to life and just decided I was going to make a lot of money and have a pretty wife and a couple of nice kids, which, by the way, I did, that someone invited me to their church with the invitation of, this Sunday we're going to have someone who is Jewish speak about Jesus and the Passover, and the pastor told us to invite all our Jewish friends. You want to come? And to this day, I don't know why I said yes. But I think that my search, if you will, really wasn't over, and this was maybe one last chance. And that meeting on Palm Sunday, 1992, was a meeting that started to turn my life around. I did not come to faith that day. As a matter of fact, I got incredibly angry that day that the thought that Jesus was actually the Jewish Messiah. And so I met for 8 weeks with a gentleman who gave that message. My intent was to prove him wrong, and praise God I didn't.
Well, before we will have to close in a minute, but before we do, just in case anybody missed out hearing about this wonderful congregation, their hopes and prayers for a new permanent building, and the way you too can help by attending a concert by an excellent, excellent Christian artist who's coming to our area in December. Can you remind us how to find out about tickets?
Absolutely. Just go to our website, sonofdavid.org, and click the Michael Card in Concert link, or you can call our office, 240-342-2403. That's 240-342-2403. Tickets are $25 a piece, and there are also business and corporate sponsorship available, and we can let you know about them when you contact us.
Great. Thank you for being my guest today.
Thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with Dennis Karp of the Son of David Congregation in Rockville. We've been talking about the congregation and a concert. If you missed any details, call us at WFAX. We'll be happy to fill you in. Thank you for coming today.